Today I want us to, we're going to venture through several different passages, and I invite you, you can take out your notes, you can doodle on them or fill them out, that's up to you. But we're wrapping up this series called I'm In. And we've been looking at some different qualities that I believe God has called all of his believers to embrace. That as we form into his church, that we would understand that we are set apart in some very important ways. 3 weeks ago, we looked at the reality that God has invited us all into his family to be a part, that it's not something that we just hold on to, but then that as we have been invited, we invite others to participate as well. Then we understood and looked at this powerful truth that we are invaluable to God's work through his church. In fact, that to the point that last week we talked about the reality and truth that you are influential in your sphere of influence as well. That you are called, and I am called, to be salt and to be light in this world that we live in. Today, I want us to look at the reality that by the power of God, that through his Holy Spirit, through an understanding as we grow and we in our relationship with God, that you and I are all called to be invested in the work of God to make a difference in this world. That we're not called just to be consumers of things, but that we are to take our lives and make that into more. I understand we can talk about investment in the church, and many might say, well, Troy, I like you and all, and you may not even say that, but I like coming when I can, when I'm not tired or there's not other things to do. We like being here. But I don't know about this whole investment discussion. I'm not really invested in that way. And I don't invest in these kind of things. But the reality is that we all invest ourselves somewhere. You're invested. You believe in something. You're passionate about something. And the reality is that your heart follows your investment. That, let's put it this way. If you were invited to be a part of a class on managing your finances, and it was a free class, many would say, okay, I'll be a part. But then that morning comes or that day comes, and you're like, you know, I just don't feel it. I didn't pay anything. I can go or I cannot go. But if you paid into that, if you use some of your hard-earned money to say, I'm going to be a part of that class, then I got a feeling that you are going to squeeze every bit of an ounce out of that class because you've invested. The reason you have invested and are invested in God's church is because we need to be invested in something. It's we get a choice of where we put that investment. You know, unfortunately, the problem is that many are investing in things that don't last. You look at the words and teachings of Jesus, and over and over and over again, he illustrates this point. Different ways, different times, different stories. And he tells us it's easy for us to invest in the things that don't last. And often we do. But instead, we are called to pour our treasures into things that will impact eternity. In Matthew chapter 6, this is a verse that most of us know very well. And we've heard it over and over again. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't invest everything in the places that don't last. The things that don't really matter. And so if you're taking notes today, this big idea that we're going to really kind of pour into for today is our God has created us to pour, not to store. God created us to pour out, to be a blessing to others instead of just storing up more stuff for ourselves. Jesus said it this in another way, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a life-transforming principle that when we fully take it to heart, that we can invest in the building of the work of God in and through His church. That we are created to pour, not store. My experience here is most of you are very generous. That you love to give. Again, 20 pounds. You have found joy in making a difference, even through things like Upward Basketball and what that is doing in our community, in our church. The simple gift of investing our time to teach kids not just how to bounce and shoot a ball, but more importantly, these characteristics of life that they can learn from the game and from God's Word. But we have an ability to look at things that God has entrusted us and realize that we can use that to be a blessing to others. And there is a thrill in that. We can get a deep satisfaction and joy when we bless others. And in fact, you know, if we, at the end, we look back at our life, I pretty much guarantee we're not going to have a whole lot of moments where we're, man, when I bought that thing, woo! But the stories that many of us will get emotional about is when we took that radical step to trust God with everything that we have. That we would take that step of faith, even of worship, by saying, you know what, God, you've entrusted me with this. It's yours. I'm going to give back to you, not out of, well, somebody told me to, but because I want to glorify you with what you've blessed me with. Maybe you've even said, you know what, I saw someone had a need. And it might have been something like a car. It might have been as simple as something like diapers for a young mother or family. It might have been a meal when someone was sick. It could have been that you were prompted to buy someone's groceries when you were going through the checkout line because you just had a sense that they had a need. And you look back over those times and you think about the joy of the Lord when He has used you because you've entrusted yourself and everything that God has entrusted to you back to be a blessing to someone else. And the reason that you get this joy, the reason you experience that is because you were created by God to pour out the blessings, not just to store up the things. And the reason many of us can get upset or even a little bit uncomfortable when we talk about these kind of things is that we really want to give. We know that how it feels when we do it, but we're not in a place where we just feel like we can right now. We'd like to, but, you know, we need more before I'm comfortable to do something like that. And I understand it real well because I've kind of unfortunately struggled with this a lot of my life, that there's this mindset of a scarcity mindset. Those like myself that have dealt with this, we tend to believe that there is, let's say, one pie. And if I give them a piece of my pie, then that means there's less pie for the rest of us. Now, I understand, again, 20 pounds, I could afford to give a piece of pie away. But the reality is that instead of realizing we can make more pie, we tend to hoard to ourselves. Because we have this win-then attitude. When I get more, then I'll give more. The problem is that when we live in that scarcity mindset, it doesn't matter how much you have. You have this mindset of there's not enough, that we're consumed with fear, we're afraid, so we need more, and we store up and we keep to ourselves. And Jesus even told a story about this in Luke chapter 12. And what's interesting is it's not a poor person that Jesus uses in this illustration. In fact, it's likely a rich farmer who has worked hard. He's obeyed the principles of seed and harvest, and God has blessed him. But the problem is this guy, he's a lot like us, and he says, "What should I do with all that I have? It's an amazing year." Instead of filling his silos and giving away the rest, the blessing, he says, "Well, maybe I'll just knock down all my barns and I'll build bigger ones so that I can store it all." And God looks on and it says, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded of you." And as Jesus finishes up this parable, he says, this is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. We're created to pour, not store. So whenever we have that, start with that scarcity mindset, we're driven by fear. But there's another option that is before us. This is the mindset of abundance. When we understand that we are we serve an abundantly generous and good God who loves to bless, who owns everything, it's all His anyway. And so He provides for our needs, but God doesn't just stop there, because God often gives more than enough so that we can then be a blessing to others. It's a faith-filled, God-believing, God-honoring mindset that our God is generously blesses us so that we can then be a blessing to others. In Matthew chapter 26, there's a parallel story to one that we talked about 3 weeks ago. And we find Jesus at the dinner at the home of Simon the leper. And a woman enters in with an abundance mindset. We don't know her history. We don't have her name. She's not listed like she is in Luke as the sinful woman. All we know is that she enters in, takes this most valuable thing that she has, a jar of very expensive perfume, and because of who Jesus is, because of the grace that he has extended her, this woman doesn't store up what she has, but instead she pours it out on the head of Jesus as a sacrificial offering. And you can imagine what she's thinking. If He's good enough to forgive me, if He's powerful enough to provide for me, and whatever I have, I want to use it as an expression of worship. And what's interesting is that there are those in the midst of this that we wouldn't think would be this way, but they have the scarcity mindset. And of all people, it's Jesus' disciples. It's not just one of them. In this story, it's all of them. It says that when this woman goes through this expression of worship, it said that the disciples looked on, raised their voice, and said, "Stop! We can sell that. We can use that. We can store it and use it elsewhere." And it sounds good on the outside. It's a great argument. But what they're saying is, "We don't have enough at this time for you to be doing that." And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "What this woman has done is a beautiful thing." And he declares that this story will be told throughout the world about her beautifully sacrificial and extravagant moment of worship. Because we are created to pour, not store. We're called to be invested in the work of God, not just to look on. We are each called to bring the resources that God has trusted us with and pour them out through the family of God to be a blessing to all people. God created you to be a blessing. Luke chapter 9, Jesus is feeding the 5,000. At least that's what we say, that's what the title is, but really it's more than 5,000 because they only counted the men at the time. And so it's more like between 10 and 20,000. And these scholars believe that this is the biggest crowd that he preaches to on this hillside. And he's preaching and he's healing people. And if you kind of read between the lines a little bit, and I hope you'll kind of stay with me in this, I'm visualizing this meeting going on the side. Jesus is out there. He's on in the midst of the people. People are tying into what's going on, and the disciples get to the side, and I kind of got a feeling John calls a meeting. He says, "Hey, Peter, come here. Hey, Matthew, Bartholomew, come over here. Hey, Thomas, come here. Are you guys like me and you're hungry?" I mean, Jesus has been going on for a while. You know, he hadn't even had a bathroom break here. And hey, Thomas, why don't you, you know, we know you like to do these things. Why don't you go over and tell Jesus it's time to wrap things up? And Thomas says, "No way." So they said, "Okay, we'll do this together. And we'll tell Jesus that the people are hungry, so he needs to wrap things up." And so together they go, they say, "Jesus, you know, we love the preaching, we love the stories, we love what you're telling the people. In fact, I've taken 3 pages of notes here. You know, we'll share it later. We'll post it on things. But the people, you know, we've started to see the reviews on Yelp, and they're saying they're hungry. This guy rambles on, and what does Jesus do? He says, we'll give them something to eat." And the disciples, and I can imagine Peter, he's the planner, he's the organizer, and he starts going, this wasn't on the agenda, Jesus. I don't know how, and this wasn't supposed to be the way it happened, because he thought they would just say, Jesus would say, "Oh, well, we'll wrap things up." The disciples were living in the scarcity mentality, because they say, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we're not talking tuna, we're talking tilapia." It's true. They're declaring, "We don't have enough." And Jesus doesn't declare, "Oh, I didn't see that one coming. I thought we had the truck back there. You know, they're all going to starve to death and die out here." But what Scripture does tell us is he says he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, gave thanks, and broke them. Then he gave the disciples to distribute to the people. And the result is that they all ate and were satisfied. All 5 to 20,000 people were satisfied. In fact, not just satisfied, but the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. In other words, it's like Jesus saying, "Hey, when I'm involved, don't tell me there's not enough. When I'm involved, there's more than enough. In fact, each of you can take a basketful home as a reminder of God's abundance and blessing." And this is the key principle that we can't miss. When you keep, what you keep is all you have, but what you give, God multiplies. You're created to pour, not store. You're created to be a funnel of God's blessings as you're generous with others, that God will often restore the provision that you gave so that we can be pouring out more. Generous people realize it's a joy to make a difference in the lives of others. And it's a driving mindset of what our church is called to do. You watch what happens in our compassion center every day. You watch what happens through our preschool and our and all the things that we have like Upward. And we realize that God blesses, we give, and He multiplies. It's about an understanding of how we are to invest our lives, not just as things to do, but more importantly, it's our act of worship. Whether it be our finances, our talents, or our spiritual giftings, or our time, we're called to take those blessings and not hoard them, but to invest in the kingdom of God. It's all part of our daily worship. Remember that worship isn't just an hour of time on a certain morning in a certain location. Worship is living out who God has made us to be in response to what He has done and continues to do. Worship isn't singing a particular song or doing a certain thing. Worship is saying, God, thank you. Here I am. Use me. So the question for all of us this morning is, what are you investing in? How are you allowing God to funnel His blessings through you? Are you storing or are you pouring?